And I pray that you'd help each of us to tear down the walls that we have, whether we have never been introduced to you or whether we have been introduced to you and kind of been ignoring or not treating the relationship the way you desire. Lord, I pray that you'd make a change. I pray that tonight as we look into your word, we would see a different you than we may have seen in the past. We leave all this in your hands. Amen. It is a very special thing meeting someone who is famous or important or celebrated. I know for me, there was one pastor, and he's a world-known pastor, very, very acclaimed, and I wanted to meet him. This was probably about 15 years ago. And so I traveled to Chicago and went to his church with thousands of people, and I just, for some reason, had to meet this important person because he had been important in my life. And I remember writing a note the night before. I was in a hotel, and I took like a card, and I started to write in small lettering so that I could write this nice note to him. And I started rambling, and I kept going down the whole note. I flipped it over and went on that side, and then wound up writing on the front, going up the sides because I had so much to say, and realizing in the end I had written an absolutely horrible, totally incoherent letter because I was just dying to meet this important person. And I didn't really know how to meet someone that important. Well, in the Bible, we see God himself meeting people that wind up becoming very explosive meetings. You think of Israel when they heard God speak to them from Mount Sinai. God spoke so loud, out loud, to the entire nation, they became so scared that they begged Moses and begged God, please don't speak to us anymore like that. Let's have God speak to Moses and that he could tell us what God said. There's also the meeting where Saul is traveling to Damascus and he meets Jesus on the road, and Saul is knocked from his horse to the ground and he's blinded by the amazing light of Jesus. Another explosive meeting. There's even Moses, when Moses got to see God. And God says, I can't really even show myself to you, Moses. What I can do is put you in a big crack in this rock and I can walk past and cover you with my hand and you can see my back. And when Moses did, it changed his whole appearance. And Moses came down, I believe his face shone, and he had white hair because he had seen God. Still, in God's plan, though, God wants to walk among men. God wants to meet and be with men. And he is going to institute this plan in the Bible. He is going to live with men. God himself is going to come and walk along the roads with men. He is going to eat with them. He is going to camp with people. Now, without knowing how this God with us was all going to happen, I am sure I would have felt very much like the people in the video you just saw. I mean, I would have felt very much like the Israelites, shaking with fear at the voice of God. How is this going to be that God is going to meet with us? As a matter of fact, I'm not even sure I'd be able to bring myself to approach God. After all, I know who I am, and I also know who he is. And that is really the amazing thing about the incarnation, or the birth of Jesus Christ, the Christmas story. You see, in God's amazing wisdom, he designs Emmanuel, meaning God with us, to be an event that would break down the walls and the barriers that we have when we think of standing before with God. God would do life with mankind, and he began his relating process in the choices of how the Messiah would come to us. And that's what we're going to go look at tonight. How would God design it, this meeting between God and mankind? How would God lay it out? Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says this. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Let's just stop there for a second. The first choice in God's design is that is this interaction with mankind is that it would involve controversy. Remember, he didn't have to come in a controversial way, but Jesus did. No matter how you stack it up, Jesus would always have a stigma that he lived with. And that is that Mary was pregnant before she got married, and that Joseph himself was not Jesus' biological father. In those days, that was a major controversy. Now, they didn't have blood testing, and they didn't have DNA testing, so really no one could prove it. But God decided to send Jesus to this earth and begin his days through controversy. Instead of squeaky clean, Jesus had an uphill battle right from the start. And remember, Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, she knew that Mary was pregnant before marriage. She had visited her. That means that her husband would probably have known. And what I know about secrets is that once someone else knows, basically everybody else has a chance of knowing. Did Joseph ever tell anyone? Did he ever seek counsel from anyone about it? Isn't it strange that the long-awaited birth of the perfect person, the Holy One, the spotless Lamb, would be sent into life where a controversy existed? I mean, wouldn't it have been better to have Jesus' incarnation be clean? Wouldn't it have been better to have it be perfect and free of any questionable past? Why did God choose to do this way? Well, the answer is that God is different than people thought he was. With the gift of Jesus' birth, we learned God is not afraid of a controversial life. God is not put off by all sorts of pasts. God can relate to people whose lives are marked by scarlet letters and lives that are marked by dysfunction. He gets that. He sent his son to have that kind of life. We saw people up on that screen who are addicted, some abandoned and most labeled as outcasts. God wants these kind of folks to run to him. God paved a way at Christmas that tore down the wall that scarlet letters can build. Jesus' birth screams, "Do you want to meet God? Because I've come to meet you, and I'm not what you think." You see, wearing a scarlet letter from your past just doesn't faze God. Jesus would go on to say later in his life, "Anyone who comes to me, I will never cast away." John 6:37. What an amazing Christmas gift God gave us in Jesus. The gift that no matter how much controversy you have in your life, Jesus holds his arms wide open, inviting you into him. That's not all God chose. Verse 20, as we continue. As he, that's Joseph, considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary as his wife. Gang, the most powerful, awe-inspiring, greatest being that there is chose to put on innocence, chose to put on frailty, chose vulnerability, so that we would always know that he understands. He came in innocence and frailty, your second point. God took on human form, there is an amazingly, amazingly incorrect idea about God, and that idea is that God doesn't understand us and that he is indifferent to our pain. Well, gang, nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus Christ, the way God designed it, would experience love and hurt. He would experience friendship and he would experience betrayal. God himself would experience joy and sadness. He would experience hunger. He would experience temptation. He would experience heartbreak, loss, and even desperation. Why? Well, so that it could never be said of God that he doesn't understand or he doesn't care. I had the privilege several years ago of being sent down to Maryland to the National Fire Academy. That's what I do for a living. I am a professional firefighter. I just volunteer here. And at the National Fire Academy, when I was there, it was a very special weekend. New Jersey weekend is one of the special weekends there because it's then that all of the families who have had their loved ones fall as firefighters are invited to the National Fire Academy for that weekend. And I had the privilege of seeing this, speaking to a lot of the families as they told the stories of their loved ones who had fallen in the line of duty fighting fire. And one of the things I'll never forget was that one woman told me, "I always come, I never miss." And I know so many of these people now. She said, "Because much as I love meeting people like you and all the other firefighters, which is wonderful, there's just something different. There's just something, I can't quite understand or explain it, about talking with someone else who has experienced the same loss that I have. There's a way that we can relate and talk to that nobody else gets because we've both felt the same thing." By God experiencing all of life, starting from an innocent, vulnerable baby, God is saying, "I know what you're dealing with. And I too have dealt with that kind of pain." Jesus' birth screams, "Do you want to meet God? I've come to meet you and to know you. But let me warn you, I may not be what you think." The last choice that God made in his Christmas gift is from Luke 2, chapter 2, verse 1. "At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire." Now, this was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. "All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them." The third choice that God made was that he would come in humility. This part especially blows my mind. I mean, Jesus's arrival, this was going to happen, was first mentioned back in the garden to Adam and Eve. For 4,000 years, the plan was waiting for the perfect time to arrive and all the pieces to be perfectly aligned. So why is it that no one made a reservation at the hotel for Jesus? How did the timing get so messed up that Mary would be riding on a donkey on the day that she was going to give birth to the most important baby ever born? Did the travel arrangement angel for this order the appropriate lodging? No. I heard on the radio on the way home from work Thursday, they were recapping the year, and they said, they talked about the story where Beyonce Knowles had her first baby this year and spent $1 million decorating the hospital room. $1 million decorating the hospital room for her important baby. Now, you know what Mary and Joseph got? They got the old heave-ho. They wound up outside in a hollowed-out dirt cave to have this baby. Think about it. There were 4,000 years to get this thing set up. Who messed up these arrangements? Nobody. Nobody messed them up. The answer is this is exactly how God wanted it. In the world of haves and have-nots that you and I live in, Jesus, God himself, was to be a have-not. In the world of haves and have-nots, he would not have money. He would have not earthly possessions. He would have not status in society. Jesus would be poor. The Son of God would have no accomplishments to admire or esteem. No silver spoon, no job in a large corporation. Instead, God decided to meet mankind as a worker bee, the same as you and the same as me. The stunning paradox of Jesus is that he is the God of all things. John chapter 1. He is the God of all things who is all powerful and who at his presence we should tremble in fear, but he is also this approachable, relatable, amicable person who does not look down on us, but instead stands on the same ground we do, saying, "Take my hand. Let's do your life together." You see, for 4,000 years, God waited and designed a time where he himself could walk among us, where he himself could hold our hands, laugh along with us at parties, and console each other when we were hurting, and know each other's life personally. That's the kind of God who is dying to meet you. Because as innocent and humble as he is, he is also the one with the power over life and death, and the one who holds and keeps the entire world in his hands. He speaks, and the stars have to obey him. He tells demons to flee, and they have to. This God, this Christmas gift, wants to fix your heart and set your life on the course that he has designed for it. Do you want to meet God? He may not be what you think, but I pray that this Christmas will show you who he really is and how much he wants you to accept his gift of salvation and life to the full. For thousands of years, we come back to it, and it's probably the greatest holiday that we celebrate throughout the year. And I think a lot of that is because if you look at the birth of Jesus Christ, you see a better picture of who God is, and then Jesus will continue to blow people's mind about who God really is as he starts his walk with mankind, which we will be beginning next time we meet. But for tonight, maybe you're at a place where these things are new. As the band comes back and worship leaders come back, maybe you're at a place where you say, you know what? My life's been filled with controversy. I've been walking around with a scarlet letter, and I didn't think God would have me because of what's in my past. Well, hopefully you realize tonight that could not be the case. Jesus said, anyone who comes to me, I'll no way ask them to leave. Or maybe you're thinking, Jesus couldn't quite understand all that you've been through. Maybe you're thinking, God isn't really a God who can be close to me and understand me. Well, after what we've looked at tonight, after him coming in human form and experiencing all things we've talked about, maybe Jesus is different than you thought and someone you need to wrap your arms around. Or maybe it's the idea that Jesus has come in humility, where he laid it all down so that he can be one of us, breathe the same air we breathe, live the same life we live. Let me ask you to close your eyes. If there's anyone here tonight who has not made that step, the step of accepting the gift of Jesus Christ, the John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. If you've never accepted that, you can do that now in your heart. It's not something you do with me or for me or for anybody around you. It's something you decide in your heart that God and you are talking through, where you say, yes, I understand I've made mistakes. I understand my sin, and I know that you can take them away. I know that your gift is to know me personally and to put your spirit within me. So forgive me. Forgive me by the power of the blood you shed on the cross, and take the steering wheel of my life and guide me to life to the full the way you've designed it and the way you have designed mine. Now, allow us to worship you one last time before we celebrate on December 25th. Amen.